All right. It's Canada Day weekend. It's the Kaufman Show. I'm Dave. That's Jay. And we're in a good mood. At least I am.
So am I. I'm on vacation.
There you go, man.
Man. All right. God. Jeez. I'm on vacation, man.
Well, I'm happy that you consider this to be not part of the daily grind of
this
your life.
This is not work, Dave Kaufman. This is enjoyable pastime. This is my baseball.
Good. A little bit of work goes into it.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. I'm not saying we don't work.
Well, no.
But it's enjoyable.
Well, baseball is both a business and a pastime.
It is.
Right? Too much of a business to be a pastime. Too much of a pastime to be a business.
Yes. Now I'm confused.
That's okay.
Brain's not working.
I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Well, you're on vacation, so your brain is in vacation mode.
It doesn't have to work.
That's okay.
It's going to work. Don't worry.
I will hold your hand. I will lead you through the night.
Please don't hold my hand.
Oh, well, it's a long reach.
Okay.
It's kind of like the House of Commons in here. We're on opposite sides of the chamber. And
you know what? I'll take whatever I can get. Hold my hand.
Do you think this is done on purpose, the amount of space between us, so that nobody can lunge across the desk and swing at the other?
Yeah, because Jimmy and John are like 3 miles away from us as well. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it would be difficult for John to get Jimmy's. Having sat in that seat and tried to get Rod's attention.
Maybe it's Sport Talk radio guys have a bad odor problem. I don't know what it is. And they know this coming into it.
Having hung out around this station, I can promise you that is true. I don't know if it was built in as a, you know, there'd probably be better ventilation in this room.
Could there be better ventilation? It's freezing in here, dude.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have worn shorts and sandals to work
tonight. Jeez.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Good. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Good.
Yeah. Wonderful weekend.
Yeah.
Love Canada Day.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. I can wear red again without it being accused of being overtly political.
Well, it's not a square, so it's okay. That was a good weekend. We had Canada Day. We had the draft. There was soccer. It was a lot of fun.
Well, the free agency.
Yeah. I mean, free agency. Draft was last week.
Right.
Told you. Told you this was going to happen.
That's okay.
I'm on vacation, people.
And that is why we're holding hands.
Okay. We are now holding hands, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got some good news to announce.
What's
to
that?
Was that my phone, your phone? Whose
That's
phone
not
did
me.
That?
My That's phone. Not me. I don't have a hippie hive iPhone like you guys.
I should put that on silent.
Yeah, you should.
All right. No. And it is done.
Okay.
Next Monday night, the Kaufman Show will be live from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. in advance of the Home Run Derby. Your pregame,
so I got to get up early.
Your pregame nap will have to be a little bit early.
That's okay. I'm all for it. I can't wait. I'm hyped up for that. That's going to be in prime time, baby.
That's right. July the 9th from 6 to 8 p.m. And then the following two Mondays, we're going to be on from 6 to 10 p.m. So rest up, buddy.
4 hours.
4 hour shows, back-to-back Mondays, the Kaufman Show in prime time. I am psyched.
Yeah, you should have seen Jimmy's and John's face just now. What? Really?
Yeah, that's a lot of audio to cut, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. John, you doing all right, man?
I'm doing great.
Good.
4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours, not a problem.
Well, as long as we're all having fun.
I enjoy doing it.
Oh, boy.
I like that attitude, Johnny. Yeah. And Jimmy won't be here, unfortunately. You're going on vacation, right, man?
Yes, I'll be gone for a couple of weeks.
Where are you headed?
I'm going to Greece.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Damn.
Well, at least somebody is. That's good.
Jimmy being the highest paid member of the team here. So,
I'm actually very jealous. I'd love to go to Greece. I have not gone to
Greece. You've never been to the homeland?
I've never been to the homeland. Oh. I've never been to the fatherland.
I've never been to Germany either, actually.
I've been
That's
to
funny.
Germany.
Oh, really?
I've been to Germany. I've never been to my fatherland.
Oh, I thought you meant the fatherland.
The fatherland? No, I have frequented the fatherland.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I don't know why you didn't make that extra trip over to Greece once you were in Berlin, but...
Germany, Greece, these days, what's the difference?
Well, I don't know. A couple of goals in a soccer game,
yeah,
right?
Probably.
A bailout here and a bailout there.
Yeah.
So we've got a huge show tonight. 15 years ago yesterday, I can tell you exactly where I was. And I imagine that everybody in this room and a lot of people listening tonight can do the same. Canada Day, 1997. Expos in Toronto playing the Blue Jays. We're going to speak with the starting pitcher of that game tonight.
Roger Clemens?
No, you know what? We decided to go with the winning pitcher.
Yeah, good.
So we'll speak with Jeff Juden instead, former Expo, and we'll catch up with Jeff, see what he's been up to in the last, 15 years. Should be interesting. I found him on Facebook, and he's still rocking and rolling.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody remembers, he was a big music guy back in the day.
Where were you sitting?
Oh, I was sitting on my couch.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
You were there?
I was there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
oh,
I was awesome. I was in the second level behind home plate.
That's amazing.
They opened the roof up. It was a beautiful day, and we saw a pitching matchup for the ages.
And the standing O that Juden got
yep.
was incredible.
Goosebumps, my friend. It was incredible. Both Blue Jay fans and Expo fans on their feet, you know, and even when Clemens left, he left a little bit earlier than Juden, if I remember correctly. I gave a standing ovation to Clemens, too. The only time I'll ever do that. But I'd never seen a pitching duel like that. It was beautiful.
If you could have, you would have stood and applauded his role in The Simpsons, I imagine.
Yes.
Nobody can cluck like a chicken quite like Roger Clemens.
Max Harris will be happy you just mentioned The Simpsons.
We'll have Max Harris in studio tonight around about a half an hour from now. Max is off to do great things, and we are going to wish him well on his way.
Okay.
We got the baseball guys. We've got El Jefe, Travis Reitzma, Shaka Brody, who spent the day at Disneyland. Talk about a jealous radio host over here.
Jealous? Have you ever been to Disneyland?
I've been to Disney World many times.
Yeah.
But
so why are you jealous? It's an awful place.
I've been in 20 years. It's a
terrible,
awful place.
Terrible place.
That's why whenever...
Everything that's wrong with the world is Disney World.
Then why, when you win the Stanley Cup, do you say you're going to Disney World?
Because they pay you to, my friend. They can afford it, believe me. You ever try and buy a drink there?
We're going to be joined by the Jimmy Riggers as well. They've got a huge announcement to make. And why don't we go to break? And we'll listen to our wonderful sponsors. I believe this next segment is going to be brought to you by the fine people at Walt Disney World.
What?
I would like to share this with the people in Montreal that are not going to have a team anymore. But my heart and my ring is with them too.
This one's from his foes. Annie Slade's got the springtime blues real bad. Can't help but reminisce about the great years we had. I remember photo day 83 summer. Yeah, I still have to pick up me, my pops, and my brother. I remember All-Star Game 5 fans strong. 59,000 fans looking on. I remember tears at the kids' last game. Stood right behind him as the anthem played. Now my homemade signs got his autograph name on the newspaper cover, first rush with fame. I remember singing Valdery, Valderaw, 03 wild card race, last hurrah. I remember Vlad 40-40 in the call they got wrong. The game against the Braves, Cliff Floyd going long. Still missing Montreal ball 6 years on. Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, special Canada Day weekend edition. One of the best things about playing that song, Anakin Slade's tribute to the Expos, is watching everybody's head bop up and down in the studio. John Kay, Jimmy G, Mr. Farrar, and myself, everybody sitting in their seats dancing around, and the memories will never fade. And speaking of... 15 years ago yesterday is one of the greatest games in Montreal Expos history. I just found out that my co-host Jay Farrar was there.
I was.
I watched it on television and had the goosebumps. So I'll never forget the standing O that Jeff Juden got when he exited the game after 8 1/3, after 14 strikeouts.
From Jays fans and from Expos fans.
50,000 people, man. Yep. And you know what? That doesn't happen anymore. Because you can't get 50,000 people into the Rogers Centre in Toronto anymore. They've reconfigured the stadium.
Yeah.
And we're going to be joined now by former Montreal Expos and, well, seven other ball clubs as well. But we remember him very well as a Montreal Expo, 1996 and 97. And funnily enough, 97, he threw one of the greatest games in Expos history. He also pitched in the World Series that year, not for the Expos, but he also pitched in the World Series that year. Let's welcome Jeff Juden to the Kaufman Show. Good evening, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going, Kauf? How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Doing great, man. Glad to be here.
It's been a while, eh? 15 years.
Yeah, man. Brings back great memories. You know, pitching against the old idol, Roger Clemens, man. It was an awesome crowd and great day.
Was Roger Clemens your idol coming into baseball?
He was growing up, yeah. I came from Boston. I grew up in Salem, Mass., and I used to go in and watch Red Sox, and he was striking everybody out, so I wanted to be like him.
Oh man, did you get to speak to him before that game or after that game?
No, you know, Raj wasn't too personable with me. I don't know why, but I haven't really had much of a chance to talk to him at all.
Huh. It must have been just an incredible feeling that day. And I mean, obviously, you're not Canadian, but I'm sure you were able to capture the importance of that day and having two Canadian teams battle it out in front of 50,000 people. And I mean, the testament to that is that we're still talking about it 15 years later.
Yeah, you know, it was great. I mean, I'm a quarter French, I'm not Canadian, but I got a quarter French in me. My father was born in Kingston. So, yeah, it was a great day for me. You know, I remember it well. Pitching against Roger, I mean, it was kind of surreal. You know, I'd watched him as a fan for so long. And, you know, I felt like I had the best seats in the house, you know, and he pitched a great game as well. And, you know, we were able to beat him there. I guess the difference of the game was a fly ball to left field that got caught up in the sun. That would normally be routine, but because the roof was open, it fell in. And we ended up getting one of the runs that way, and then Rondell White. So, yeah, it was a great day.
Now, you're from, I guess, no more than a 4 or 5 hour drive from Montreal then, right?
Yep, I grew up in Salem, Mass.
So your time here, I'd imagine, was almost like playing for a hometown team. I'm sure you had a lot of friends come up and watch you pitch here. And I mean, tell me a little bit about 96 and the bit of 97 that you pitched for the Expos.
Well, you know, I came over from San Francisco, started off as a reliever, 96, and then went into winter ball out there with the Expos and Estrellas. Work on getting back as a starter. I came in, lived downtown, had a bunch of friends come up, family and stuff like that. I did feel like I was at home. You know, it was a great experience. We had a great team. You know, these guys run through a wall for me. You know, F.P. Santangelo, David Segee, you know, throwing to Darren Fletcher. He called a great game behind the plate. You know, we just had an awesome team. You know, Mike Lanson, Henry Rodriguez. You know, all them guys, man, they battled hard. It seems like if I gave up a few runs, you know, they get five or six. You know, I mean, they're always there for me. It was a great experience.
Was there still any kind of a lingering feeling from 94 in the clubhouse?
Not that I could tell. You know, everything appeared pretty fresh. You know, we kind of took it on a day-to-day basis, you know, one day at a time, and you know, we were ready to go. Everybody was fired up, and we always had that winning feeling. I didn't feel that on a lot of the other teams I played with, but, you know, it was just an awe about those guys where, you know, we just felt like we were going to go out there and win every day, and there was no way anyone was going to stop us.
How much of that would you give credit to Felipe for?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I give more credit to the players than I do Felipe. You know, Felipe was a great guy to play for. He's pretty quiet. You know, we had Joe Kerrigan as a pitching coach here, and Pujols and Harper, and we had a lot of fun. You know, I guess I could attribute it to the coaches being loose, you know, and the players following along with them.
I wanted to ask you about Joe Kerrigan, actually. There was a moment in that Canada Day game where he visited the mound. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Joe just came out to give me a breather. You know what I mean? You know, he felt like, you know, I was working pretty hard. I wanted to stay in the game. And, he felt like, you know, he was just giving me a breather. You know, I mean, I felt good about pitching, you know, the whole game. So, you know, that's pretty much what it was.
We're in conversation with former Expo Jeff Juden talking about the Canada Day game, among many other things. I'm Dave Kaufman, and my co-host is Jay Farrar.
Jeff, one of your other most memorable moments here in Montreal is when you went to town on the entire Houston Astros in 1996. This is one of the most talked about brawls in the history of the Expos. People still talk about it today. As Randy Tiemann put it, it was like a bull in a china shop. Can you tell me a little bit about what happened that day?
Well, let's see. I guess Henry Rodriguez got hit by Danny Darwin, and Darwin's nickname was Dr. Death. And Henry threw it at Henry the first time, and he missed him. So I think you know, the second time when he got him, after Henry hit his 30th home run, I think it was, I guess, to break the home run record for rookies, he watched it a little bit. And so Henry didn't hesitate to charge the mound. And being the teammate that I am, I went out there, you know, try to help Henry out a little bit.
You certainly did. You helped everybody else who was in danger, too. But I guess you had played with a lot of those guys, too, which made it even more interesting. So maybe a little bit of a rivalry there.
Yeah, you know, I got along with most of the guys pretty well. I mean, as crazy as it was, you know, Kurt Manwaring, who ended up getting me in the headlock there towards the end, we were teammates about 2 weeks before that. You know, so it was, yeah, it was crazy with the Giants, you know, before he got traded to Houston. We both ended up getting traded. But, yeah, it was more about, you know, they wanted to get a Gethard Beiner, too. You know, Bagwell really didn't like him much, and I thought he was going to rip his neck off there at a moment. And then I remember, let's see, who was it? I think it was Rondell White punched the helmet out of someone's hand and hit Terry Collins in the face.
It was Moises Alou took a swing at somebody, hit Rondell's helmet, and yeah, and hit Terry Collins square right in the face, right in the grill, man. It was a great brawl.
Yeah.
Those were the days, huh?
It was fun. Yeah, I felt like an old hockey player, you know.
you were.
Baseball uniform, so yeah, it was fun.
Did you grow up playing hockey, Jeff?
I did, yes. I grew up playing 14 years and played in a lot of private traveling teams and stuff like that. And, yeah, I played against Jeremy Roenick as a kid, the Sacco brothers, you know, some pretty good players. Tony Amonte, we're on the same team. So, you know, I grew up playing competitive hockey and attribute a lot of that coordination and stuff, being as tall as I am, to, you know, being on the ice for such a long time.
But when you're the Gatorade High School Baseball Player of the Year, you kind of have it's kind of decided for you what road you're going to go down, right?
Yeah, when 30 scouts started showing up from every team behind home plate, yeah, it was kind of a sign. So, you know, I remember striking out 20 out of 21 guys one day, and then the whole other team lined up and asked me for my autograph. People started coming out of the, you know, streets, and I mean, it was crazy. You know, so it was an exciting time, and yeah, the writing was on the wall at that point.
Can we shift to the your post-career life, Jeff? Because I was reading on, you have a website, jeffjuden.com, and you've done some really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like, well, first of all, you've battled a lot of adversity, which I don't think the people realize.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, I mean, I've battled a lot of stuff, you know. I mean, I've had the stage one lip cancer. I've had a couple of lip surgeries, removing all the polyps from my lips, and fortunately that hasn't come back. I've had the skin cancer cut out of my back. I was diagnosed with cirrhosis about, I don't know, 17 months ago, and told that I wouldn't be living to see my next birthday if I didn't, you know, stop drinking and change my lifestyle a bit. So I have. You know, right now I'm involved with health products, Kivana, which you can find on my website. It's a great product. I take a bunch of those. It's helped me out a lot with my circulation, and the nitric oxide and the essentials is the immortality herb that's kind of helping me go along there a little bit with my immune system. So yeah, I've been working on trying to stay healthy and live a happier, healthier life, I guess.
It seems that you're also using your story to talk to others now and share your story and how people can avoid falling into some of the same traps that you did, right?
You know, to be honest, I haven't really gotten out there. No one's asked me to come speak anywhere. You know, I had a couple ladies I was working with. But, you know, that was something that I wanted to do and I like to do. I mean, I do probably a radio show a week. But, you know, other than that, I haven't really gone to any places. No one's called and asked me to come speak at a Rotary meeting lately or something.
Well, you can contact Jeff through his website, jeffjuden.com. He's available for speaking engagements and seminars. And frankly, it's a very compelling story.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, just taking it one day at a time, doing the best I can, you know, working hard. I'm also involved with a sunglass company now that Sniper International. We just got our website up and running there, so I'm working on that. We got some cool shades out there for anyone who's interested. And I just released my first rock CD.
There you go. That's what I was dying to ask you.
Yeah, my rock CD, man. Everybody, I mean, you guys have the rap coming on, man. We got to get you little Jeff Jude and rock and roll, man, for this radio show.
Yes, absolutely.
Coming in and out of that.
Where can I find it? Can we download it off iTunes or something like that?
Yeah, it's on iTunes, man. Again, well, it's only $9.99, I guess. So, you know, all the links and stuff to this stuff is on my webpage, jeffjuden.com. You can find the Kavana, the Sniper, and, on the bottom link there on the links page is for the CD and stuff. So, yeah, check it out, you know. I mean, yeah, it's good stuff. I love it.
Will do. Absolutely. We'll upload it this week, Jeff, and hopefully we can have you back on in the future, talk a little rock and roll with you.
That'd be great, man. I'd love it, guys.
Really appreciate your time tonight, Jeff. And, again, thanks for the wonderful memories from 15 years ago. It was great to be an Expos fan and watch Roger Clemens get the loss that day.
It was a lifelong dream to beat it, man. I'll tell you what, it was a great feeling, and I appreciate you guys helping me relive it today.
Former Montreal Expo Jeff Juden, thanks so much for your time tonight. We'll catch up soon.
All right, great. Thanks, guys.
There he goes, Jeff Juden. 14 strikeouts. 8 1/3. 50,000 plus at the Sky Dome. It was a wonderful day. It was a wonderful day to be a baseball fan in this country.
It was, and there was a good feeling amongst the crowds, too. I remember leaving the stadium, and there was a police officer going, Expos fans, get out of here. And then we went, hey, and then he went for his baton and chased us down in a fun way, of course.
Oh, right, because it's not Montreal.
Right. I'll never forget that day. That was great. I have vivid memories of that day.
Yeah, I think that a lot of, you know what, when I announced it on Facebook and on Twitter, people were very receptive to
it. First thing they think of, hey, Jeff pitched real well for the Expos that year, and that's why they made a wild card one.
Huge thanks to Jeff Juden. This is the Kaufman Show, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. That was fun with Jeff Juden.
Yes, it was. It was.
Guy's got a lot to...
He was an interesting guy.
He's got a lot to say.
Yeah, he does. I hope somebody takes him up on it, too.
I hope that the Rotary Club calls. Yeah. I was thinking more like a high school.
I hope he visits Montreal next time we have a reunion here.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's about... And I mean, if I'm allowed to give my opinion on what I think the next reunions should be, I would like to see it not specified to one team.
Yeah, just try and get a best of and
get
30, 40 guys out here.
Everybody's best of is their own individual best of.
Right.
I'm the only guy that would have Jamie Carroll come up as part of the best of.
Yes, you are. Especially sitting at this table.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I...
Jamie Carroll.
Well, right. And I think it would be cool to just get as many Expos up here as possible. Have some sort of a convention, a something.
Yeah, bring 100 of them. Who
don't
cares?
Don't just limit it to the 81 or the 82 or the 93 or the 94. But, you know, you could tell how much he enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And talking about the glory days, if you will.
I don't think there's a single player that doesn't enjoy it. Every player we talked to was just smitten, if I may say, especially... during the reunion weekend a few weeks back, I could see in their eyes they were having a great time. Who, I mean, the layman, the common man, where they live is not going to recognize a lot of these guys.
No.
You know, and Ellis seemed very enthusiastic as well.
The Ellis Valentine interview, go to thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. It is worth the 35 minutes of your time.
It really is.
He says a lot of things that I didn't expect him to say.
No, Ellis lays it down, man.
It's nice to speak with former professional athletes because they're a lot less guarded than current professional athletes who are trained to be media savvy, to perhaps dance around questions that may be controversial or may lead to controversial comments.
Yeah. And when they retire, all of a sudden the fence is gone and they're well off it, believe me.
Right. So, go to thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. John Kakalakis is in the other room right now working hard to put up the interview with Jeff Juden. And our show will be up sometime in the middle of the night tonight, usually about an hour after the show's done. John works pretty quick.
Well, even sooner than that sometimes.
Yeah, maybe more like a half an hour.
Just,
you know, it takes a while for me to write the synopsis of the show. Sometimes.
It takes you longer to write the synopsis than it does to download it to the site.
Oh, man, I'm exhausted at the end of this.
Jeez.
Come on. You know that feeling, end of the night. You sort of give it all and then...
Yeah, I do know that feeling.
I know. That's why I'm preaching to the choir, my man.
Yes, you are.
Preaching to the choir. Let's spend a couple of minutes on this this sport they call hockey. Because it's been all over my damn Twitter feed the last 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something going on?
Well, I would say so, yeah.
Twitter feed.
Hey, Jay, I got a question for you.
What?
How much money do you make?
What?
Didn't see that one coming, huh?
If I tell you, are you going to bitch about it on Twitter?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I'm thinking is that we should throw it open to everybody. From any caller that calls in for the rest of the night. This is how to not get callers.
I
want to know how much, should we ask them what they make or what their household income is? What do you think is more important?
Or if they're worth it, or if somebody should hire somebody else who's better than them.
Right.
I mean, who cares? That's one thing I hate about this Twitter
thing.
That's
what I want. I want a really good caller to call in, tell us how much he makes, then I want a better caller to call in and tell us that he makes even less.
Yeah. And then we'll speculate. We'll speculate as if we're the GM of the company, of whichever company we're talking about.
Can I tell you what my reaction was every time I saw a contract signed this weekend?
What's that?
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Dude, make your money.
Damn straight.
Really.
And it's as if people forget that because of the situation here, people need to be paid a little bit more to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to figure half that money's going right back into the province to pay for education and schooling and potholes, or pothole fixing at least.
There's another thing. People don't see the big picture.
Never!
Especially a guy like Brandon Prust.
Yeah.
They're basing his salary completely on statistics. Yes, his goals dropped off, and yes, his points dropped off last year from the year before. He went down from 13 goals to 5 goals. That has, people, wake up. That has nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. When you bring Brandon Prust into the fold, what you do is you open up guys like Plekanec and Gionta to do the things that they're supposed to be doing because someone is looking out for them right now. Okay,
I think it's a great
and that
pickup.
Is valuable.
I am happy with the pickup.
Of course I am.
There's a part of me that wishes that the National Hockey League and the clubs didn't disclose salaries. Because it skews everything. I love this guy, but I don't love him at X million a year.
Yeah. I wonder how
and
people...
On Twitter.
The bitching.
My God.
What would people be saying about Scotty Gomez?
They're already saying it. Carey Price at $6.5 million a year is not as big a cap hit as Gomez. Who cares? It's July.
Everybody's an agent and an accountant as well as a GM now.
It's July.
And a banker.
Canada Day weekend. 30 degrees outside for you Americans, 85 degrees outside. Enjoy life a little. Hockey's going to beat you down soon enough.
Yeah. Bitching about $10 million over 4 years.
That's not yours.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's go to the phones.
514-790-0990. 1-866-896-2546. We've got George in St. Lazare. Should we ask him?
We can ask George anything. We'll get an honest answer. That's for sure.
We're gonna, out of respect for George and his affinity for the show and all he's done for us, and the fact that YouTube took off his video that he put up for us, which I don't understand.
They took really?
Yeah, George made a tribute video for our show when we talked about Martin Brodeur and Gary
right.
Carter and Brodeur running into my sister downtown the weekend that Gary Carter the tribute from the right. Canadians. And anyways. I'd say go to YouTube and check it out, but it's not there anymore.
What kind of trademark rules did he break? What infringement went on there?
I believe the answer to that is Juno Award-winning Arkells.
Ah.
And we'll see if we can get the permission back, because those guys are pretty good guys, and I'm sure that they had no issue. I imagine it was way up the chain in the legal department at Dine Alone Records. George, how are you, man?
How much you make, man?
I'm gonna give you a Seinfeld line. Hi, my name is George. I'm bald, unemployed, and I live with my mother.
Wow.
Well, yeah, when you said that, how much money do you make? That's the first thought that came to mind. That's George Costanza on the Seinfeld show.
Well, in that case, we will make sure to send a big fat check to the Human Fund.
Yeah. How's everything?
Great, man. Great. Happy Canada Day.
Not bad. Just chilling out here in the Saint-Lazare, enjoying the good weather, and sitting by the poolside. By the way, I told you, Dave, that you and Jay have an open invitation for a barbecue. You guys are going to be invited up to the house, that's for sure.
Amazing. Jay's on vacation. We'll do it sometime in the next couple of weeks.
I haven't seen the sun in many years.
Yeah, I'll have to convince him on, taking a trip to the motherland.
Yeah, that's another thing I've really got to do. My family's got a house in Greece, too, and I haven't gone.
Man, we should go do a live remote.
Sure.
I'm scared that if you go to Greece, you might not want to come back after a while.
I'm pretty sure I'll want to come back.
He'll miss his North American sports, George.
The thing that I wanted to say that is I really hate this disclosure of salaries, blah, 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 over the internet. It's like totally ridiculous, you know? And, people are getting upset, Gary, Gary Price is not worth the money, blah, 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 blah. And I'm saying to myself, you know what? If you could get the money, then you're worth it.
That's right.
If somebody's willing to pay you, then you're worth the money, because they think that you're the commodity that's worth that kind of money, then that's what you're going to get paid. And people are sitting there and getting upset. I mean, what would you have preferred the Montreal Canadiens to do? You prefer them to sit back and say, no, we're not going to sign them because the money's too much, so that in a year's time we're going to find ourselves without a goaltender? Am I right or am I wrong?
George, you are 100% right. And I think that if people were able to look at it from the bigger picture, but they aren't.
By the way...
And instead of blaming the person for signing the contract, maybe look a little up that ladder. See who's offering him the contract.
They think these guys are idiots. You know, like, it's like as if they've become the personal accountant for the Montreal Canadiens and say, my goodness, this can't happen. That's way too much. These guys know what they're doing. Let them give them the money.
George, thanks for the call. I'll tell you why I don't complain. I buy season's tickets. I go to the games, I buy a beer. I have a jersey. I'm part of the problem.
Right.
I can't complain about
it. No. No.
I am the reason. We are the reason. You are the reason.
$10.50 a beer, yeah. But we do it.
Happily.
Happily.
Willingly. This is the Kauffman Show. When we come back, we're going to be joined by future Major League Baseball executive Max Harris.
My goodness.
It's going to be a fun one tonight. Stick around. This is the home of the Habs. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show, Canada Day edition. Jay Farrar is here, Jimmy G is on the board, and we are joined in studio by a very special guest. You may remember him from Balls, the baseball show. which debuted on this fine radio station when it was called TSN. No, it was called The Team 990. Wow. Well, I'm screwing it up the other way now. Look at that. It took a long... How long did I say team when it became TSN, and now I'm going the other way? That's hilarious. But his name is Max Harris, and he's a very good friend of mine. We met many years ago at the Olympic Stadium. We had season tickets very close to each other, and Max is off to do wonderful things, and he leaves in the morning. So this is his swan song farewell, and we thought we'd bring him on air to say goodbye. Hey, Max.
Hey, Koff. Thanks for having me.
We're starting a trend, are we? We're going back to grade three at Dunray Gardens when everybody used to call me Koff.
Well, or Jeff Juden.
Well, I know. I know. It's. I'll take it. I'll take it from Juden more than I'll take it from you. But,
well,
I have no choice.
You ever see Juden in a brawl?
That was. Now, Max, do you have any memories of that Canada Day game?
Oh, that's one of my all-time favorite Expos games. I mean,
hold on. Let's paint a picture for the audience. How old were you?
Almost seven.
Unbelievable.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, no, I mean, that was...
I was 21.
I was 16.
Well, I mean, that was the first Expos-Jays Interleague Series period. I mean, 97 being that first year of Interleague ball. You know, Pedro the night before pitching, great. Juden, I believe it was a Tuesday afternoon against Clemens. Full Skydome, hyped up. I mean, Jay was talking about he was in attendance. That's one of my all-time favorite Expos memories, and the fact that it's 15 years ago really blows my mind.
I think it makes us all feel a little bit older.
That's for sure.
It's well, and Jeff Juden included. I think he really appreciated the stroll down memory lane.
Well, and you know what? Jeff Juden was only with the Expos for, what, another month?
Yeah, and was dealt to the Indians and was part of their playoff run, wasn't he?
He was, and in return, we got Steve Kline.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, looking back on it, you know, not a bad move. I mean, Steve Kline, 80-something games, multiple years for us. The most dependable lefty we had in that stretch. You know.
Married a French-Canadian.
That's right. I mean, Steve Kline was one of the few Expos that actually lived here in the offseason.
That's right.
Right, that's right. He also had one of the most interesting upper deck cards ever. He's pressing another player over his head.
Really?
Yeah. In one
was
of
it
the,
Eddie Guidel?
Actually, Kline was known as a really, really strong guy in a locker room. He was a wrestler or something, and I remember the guys talking about him like, yeah, you don't want to mess with that guy.
So in the mid to late 90s, when a guy was known as especially strong in a major league clubhouse, what did that imply?
That implied that he worked very hard and he hit the gym every day.
Of
Kaufman.
Of
that's exactly it, Dave.
Oh, okay. Sorry, guys. I don't know where I was going with that.
Yes.
Max, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're up to. I keep saying future Major League Baseball executive. Last week, I believe I said that I will become a San Francisco Giants fan when you become general manager of the team. So let's get this all on tape right now so that we can play it back years down the road.
All right. Well, let's be clear right now. I'm, as of today, not the GM of the Giants, but, you know, that may change in 10, 15 years. You know, who knows? But as of tomorrow morning, I will be leaving to San Francisco, working on my master's degree in sports management from the University of San Francisco, two-time NCAA champion in basketball.
What years?
54 and 55.
Oh, damn.
You know, we did have Bill Russell. So after that, we had a little trouble recruiting guys. So
Love that you're already weeing this.
Big year for my Dons coming up. Actually, you know what?
For your what?
Dons.
Dons. Like Dawn, like... The Dawn's early light?
No, D-O-N-S, like the Spanish Warriors. Although we do have a ball club.
Or Mafioso. I don't know. Right. Which one is it?
If you want a name to remember, Kyle Zimmer was drafted by the Royals fifth overall in this year's draft, a proud Dawn. So keep that name in mind.
Kyle Zimmer.
That's right.
Don Zimmer.
There you go. See?
Brilliant.
Nicely done, Jay.
Jay, that is, you're getting a raise, Jay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Put it on Twitter. See what everybody says about that.
Yeah, watch them complain.
Yeah.
10% raise right
there,
Mr. F.
Yeah,
yeah, well.
So Max is off to become a fighting Don.
Among other things.
At the University of San Francisco. Can I just right away, maybe the weirdest sports name I've ever heard?
You know what? UCSB Santa Barbara, the Gauchos. That's
I was
going to
say
too.
The Gauchos. That's up there. We still don't know what that is.
What's the one on Travolta's T-shirt in Pulp Fiction after he changes after they shoot Marvin in the face? It's Banana Slugs.
Oh, yes.
UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs or something like that?
That's right. Yeah, they're a Division II school.
Okay. This is a Division I school.
That's right.
Okay. Mm. The Dons.
That's right.
The Fighting Dons. And the female team?
The Lady Dons.
The Lady Dons.
The Lady Dons.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
That just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, not really, but that's okay.
So describe this program.
Well, gentlemen, for the next 2 years, I will be working on a master's degree. And as part of it, I get the opportunity to intern with the different pro teams. Of course, the Bay Area being loaded, having two baseball teams and two football teams and two major colleges and NBA and NHL. But, of course, it's my hope that I will land with either the Giants or the A's.
Awesome.
Yeah. Got it planned out already.
What's your fallback?
I mean, you know.
Is it that order? Do you want to go? Would you rather go for the for Mr.
Well, by
Bonds?
The time you're master's, the A's might not be around.
I was going to say, I've always wanted to work in Major League Baseball, Dave. So,
beggars can't be choosers?
Well, that's correct. Yes.
Okay, good.
But, you know, I mean, to go Mike Tyson on you guys, everybody has a plan until they get hit. You know, I'm no different.
Fair enough. Are you excited?
I'm very excited. You know, I'll be up, I think, at 5:30. So, you know.
Are you going to go to bed?
This rate, I might not.
No. You got to pull the Jonah Carey.
Pull the Jonah Carey. Yeah. Listen to the Kaufman Show for the next 2 hours. You know, listen to the podcast. Get up. You know.
I love that you said that, and Jan and I both glanced at the clock. Like, oh, shoot. Do we have to be on for another 2 hours?
Don't give Kaufman any ideas, please.
Oh, well.
This is your first time moving out of the city, I imagine.
Yes, it will be. You know, which is, of course, a very exciting experience for me. You know, I love Montreal. I love growing up here. A lot of great people, and I wouldn't be where I am today without them, for sure. But this, at the same time, is a wonderful opportunity. I'm very much looking forward to it.
You are one of the most passionate sports fans I know in this town. And I hope that you continue to follow what's going on in this city from afar and comment on it on Twitter. Max is on Twitter at MaxTheGuru. Always has something very intelligent to say. And you've been a big part of this radio station for a long time. I don't think people realize, but many years ago, you were the first ever winner of the Team 990 Trivia Tournament.
Well, and the only winner. They had it for 2 years, and I won both years. So.
And you were how old at the time?
16.
And the average person that you were fighting against?
At least double.
I remember going out to Cajosport in Pointe Claire to watch you do battle one night. I think you won a television.
Yes, I did.
And it was amazing to watch all of these old guys get beat by the young kid. And, like, their faces. Watching you rattle off, like, college basketball stats from the 80s. Where do you store it, man?
I don't know.
I've got a lot of useless stuff up here. Don't get me wrong. I know a lot of useless stuff, but this is a whole other level. Whole other level of useless.
You know, I mean, there's
well, useful for where he's going, I guess.
Hey, he won a TV, too.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. That's not all, Dave. I mean, part of my prize did involve you.
You won me?
Well, I mean, that was a separate contest.
Okay. Elaborate. No. I don't know what you're talking
What's
about.
Happening?
I don't know.
Well, I won football tickets courtesy of this fine station.
Oh, that's right.
And as part of it, I got to pick
You picked
friends.
Me up in a limo.
I did. Well, I didn't, but our driver did.
I forgot about that. And we sat at the Alouettes game and talked baseball for 3 hours.
That's right.
It was great stuff.
And Ben Cahoon kicked the winning field goal.
Whoa. Okay. I now...
In overtime.
The memories come flooding back, Jay. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
That feels like such a long time ago, Max. And yeah, there's a lot of great memories. And I look forward to following you from afar and hopefully getting out there and visiting you at some point. But
we looking at the next Alex Anthopoulos over here?
That's kind of the feeling that I've had since I met him 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So Max is the kid that, and at the time he was a kid, so I feel okay saying that.
Did you play the game?
Not well.
Not well, but you played it.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
He's a big time ump, too.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, all the guys in Coach St. Luke hate him.
Good, because I always felt that a GM,
which means you're doing your job well.
Yeah, I always felt that a GM needs to have been on the field playing the game in order to understand it to a certain degree. And it doesn't matter. I don't mean at a competitive level. At any level, you know, as long as you played it at one point in your life, I think you're good.
I'm with you, but at the same time, what I don't think you want is guys who had failed dreams and are therefore resentful of athletes. And I knew I was no good, so I don't have that problem.
It doesn't matter. Being no good, you actually learn a lot more Believe me, when you're good, you don't. Some of the stupidest guys I know are the most talented guys ever that I've seen on the field. Really, and I really mean that. Some of the most intelligent guys are the ones who couldn't throw a ball. But it's, the thing is, they understand why they couldn't.
Because you learn a lot sitting on the bench.
That's right.
You do. Your eyes and ears are open.
That's
and
right.
It's a very different feeling. And I remember hearing Jim Fanning talking about that and how he was barely a 200 hitter with the Cubs when he played in the 50s. And it was a cup of coffee.
Right.
But he paid attention. And you see that. And you know what? For me, a lot of my favorite ball players are those guys, the character guys.
Well, yeah. And that's why a lot of the color commentators are catchers.
Right.
Because they see the game. They see the game from a different perspective that everybody else does. They're calling the shots.
Well, and they're involved in every single pitch.
Every single one.
Max Harris, any final words before we kick you out and off to San Francisco?
No.
Why did I say it like that? San Francisco. Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat.
If you're going to San Francisco. Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, no, I just want to thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate being here.
Max, we'll miss you, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah, good luck, buddy. I think you're going to do all right. I think he's going to do all right, Dave. I could see it. I could see it in his eyes.
Let's save the tape, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll air it one day down the road, and I expect tickets to playoff games.
We'll see what I can do.
Which means I want you to work for the Giants.
Oh, fair enough.
What I was going to say before, and I'll just get it out there very quickly, is that Max Harris, back in the day, and you can read my story on thescore.com on their Getting Blank blog, told the story of, and it's a wonderful story, Frank Robinson. Why don't we tell it very quickly?
Okay. Well, of course, Dave's built this up in years to come, but I'm more than happy to take credit for it. It was season ticket holders day in 2004. Frank Robinson, of course, was taking questions from fellow season ticket holders, such as myself and Dave. And at one point, I took issue with the fact that Chad Cordero was not closing, and rather Rocky Biddle was. And I made it known that I didn't appreciate that. And
in front of a couple of hundred people.
Yeah, and you know what? My fellow season ticket holders were very supportive of me at the time. And then I believe Chad Cordero came to close that very night.
Yeah, it was actually
the next day on the Sunday afternoon.
The next day,
the Reds.
He got his first save, and
never
from that
back.
Point on, every time I looked over to section 111, I felt like Max was managing and Frank was sleeping.
That's not the day where Frank got up and, God damn it, and he just turned around and looked like he was mad, but then he fell asleep again. I don't know. Do you remember that press conference?
It was just a bad dream, Jay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, of course, there's the Louis Rivas game. That was the one time he did get mad all season. That's how you knew it was a really bad call.
He made choking gestures. Actually, I wrote a story about that game as well. That game is indelibly marked in my brain. Brian Onora being the umpire. Brad Wilkerson jumping up and down. Couldn't believe that was called a fair ball. And, I was so composed that game, and then I lost it. I don't know how they didn't kick me out. And one of the coolest postscripts to that game, Sean Farrell wrote the AP story. And I asked him about this afterwards. Three people were escorted out of the tunnel of the Olympic Stadium for trying to break down the umpire's door. God love this city. Max Harris, we wish you all the best, and we'll speak to you from San Fran.
Looking forward to it, guys.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, John Kakalakis working his butt off in the other room, Jimmy G on the board. And that was the Jimmy Riggers. who we're all big fans of. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger has left the band.
He was with the band?
You don't remember? When they called in a few weeks ago their tour and they had the new guitarist?
Yes, yes. That was hilarious.
Well, tonight I think we're just joined by David Pierce from the Jimmy Riggers.
Oh, okay.
Bassist, singer, songwriter.
It's not Al Pacino this time? Or
lover,
what are the other
fighter.
Ones
I don't know. I was waiting for the Hank Hill soundboard. That would have really thrown me a loop.
Oh, okay.
But now we're giving him ideas for next time, which is always scary, especially because next time will be next week.
Can't trust the Jimmy Riggers, the modern-day Kinks of the rock and roll world.
Well, at least they're not Zeppelin throwing stuff out our windows.
Yeah.
So we appreciate that. Let's welcome in David Pierce from the Jimmy Riggers. Good evening, David.
I sell propane and propane accessories.
I tell you what, boy.
That boy ain't right.
How are you, man?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm feeling the Canada Day love, and I'm very happy to be wearing a red shirt and have nobody accusing me of anything other than being a proud Canadian. It's quite nice.
Picks or it didn't happen.
That's what they always say. And speaking
how
are
you,
of
Jay? How's Jay?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good.
Speaking of picks or it didn't happen, if you go to the jimmyriggers.com or to their Facebook page, wow, you have some awesome pictures up from your Canada Day show on Howe Island.
Not bad, eh?
Hey, that looked like a heck of a time, man. What a great venue to see you guys in.
It was a hell of a show. It was a beautiful night, incredible setting, really warm people. Really warm night, too. The mosquitoes were out in full force. Luckily, I brought some off.
Nice.
Otherwise, I'd had mosquito bites all over my shiny bald head. It was it was a wonderful show.
What was the contingency plan if it had rained?
I didn't post those photos, but there was a barn nearby where upstairs there's a loft they set up with a fully functional stage and everything. It would have been an unplugged show.
Okay.
But it would have worked just as well. Yeah.
No, we don't need any of the Jimmy Riggers getting electrocuted now.
Maybe some of them.
Dave, you're on tonight, and we're definitely going to bring you in next week as well, but you have an announcement to make. I want to pretend that it's some big Kaufman Show scoop, but it's been out on Facebook for a few days, but why don't you tell our listeners about it?
Well, actually, we have a couple of scoops, one that's going to be on the blog in the next couple of days. It hasn't been announced yet, so I'll get to that one in a second. The big announcement is that we're playing back in town next Wednesday night on July 11th at Pootsie Campus.
Awesome.
We will be playing with a band from Toronto called the Keyframes, who we had the pleasure of meeting back in April. They're fantastic guys. They're kicking off an East Coast tour here in Montreal next Wednesday. They're heading to the Maritimes. They've just released a new record, so we're helping them promote it by being the local draw here in town. We're also going to be donating a portion of the proceeds from that show to a wonderful nonprofit organization here in Montreal called Head and Hands.
Awesome.
The big scoop for the Kaufman Show is that the Jimmy Riggers are no longer a four-piece. We are now officially a five-piece.
Whoa.
Yes, we've added a third harmony.
Oh, I thought it was me playing triangle.
Didn't think I could do it, eh, Kaufman?
That's awesome, a third harmony. What? Who is it?
Sorry, Jay, we found somebody with nicer breasts than you.
What? I feel... how did I become Mick Taylor all of a sudden? What happened here?
Can we cut that out before it goes to the podcast?
No, I think that was actually maybe the funniest thing that's happened tonight. I think that has to stay.
I'm not so sure, buddy. I'm on vacation. I've been hitting the ice cream.
So the Jimmy Riggers have added a female. There is a female Jimmy Rigger.
Yes. Laurel Jackson is a really close friend of ours. She's a fantastic musician, a great songwriter, and a really powerful vocalist. She joined us last night on Howe Island because we were missing our guitar player by the name of Kevin. It seems that every time I talk to you guys, Kevin's missing for some reason. And instead of bringing in Arnold Schwarzenegger, we decided to bring in Laurel Jackson. She sang harmonies with us last night, and it was fantastic. And so we've decided to invite her to sing with us permanently.
Very cool, man. Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Oh, it's going to be a scene, man.
Well, I think we should have a big party on the 11th at Pootsie Campus. Jay is on vacation, which means he'll be able to attend.
I will be there.
And I say we throw this open.
Bra and all, I'll be there.
I think we should make this a huge party.
ice cream cone bra, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'm going Madonna.
I don't see how we can't make it a party.
Well, now I think it's a fait accompli, to be honest. But
absolutely.
Yeah, let's make this. What are the details? Where can we get tickets, David?
That's a very good question.
Okay.
We have tickets available. Would you like to have some, Dave?
I would love to have some. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Can we give away a pair of tickets?
We can certainly try. Sure.
All right.
Let's try to give away a pair either through your Facebook page, or do you want to do this through Twitter, through email? Should we do a phone-in thing? What do you want to do?
Let's do it through Twitter. And,
okay.
Why don't you throw out a tweet right now, and I will retweet it to the audience, and Jay will do the same to his. And,
okay, I tell you what.
Yeah.
I'll tweet it as soon as I'm off the phone with you, because
awesome.
I'm much more comfortable tweeting on my phone than I am on the computer.
Okay.
I'm just one of those, you know.
Little nimble fingers, I think, is the key to that, right?
That's it, exactly. Yeah, the website itself is kind of foreign to me. It's just a mobile app. So, but yeah, I'll throw a question out. I'll send it to you, and then you can retweet it to your followers, and that'll be it.
Done. Now next week, Jay and I are on from 6 to 8 p.m., and I hope that you and Andre will come into the studio and join us and promote this awesome show. I can't wait for it.
It would be a pleasure. We'd love to be in studio. It's going to be a fantastic show. We're very much looking forward to it. The Keyframes are a fantastic band, and Head and Hands is an organization that we're really big supporters of. They do a lot of great work promoting physical and mental health for youth in Montreal, whether advantaged or disadvantaged. Several years ago, the Quebec government decided to change the high school curriculum, and sex education is no longer something that's taught as a separate subject in schools. And so Head and Hands, one of their projects is to promote sex education in school. But they also offer a lot of referral, health services, legal services, social services. The big thing that I believe in very much is not just physical health, but the mental health for the youth in the city here. And it's completely nonprofit. All the money that they use for their services is completely based on fundraising. And so we're going to donate $2 from every ticket that we sell for next Wednesday's show. We're going to give it directly to Head and Hands.
Good man. I applaud you for your efforts. And nothing like mixing a little bit of rock and roll with some philanthropy. I think that's a very good call.
And a little country music.
We like a little country music, too. Alt Country Rockers, the Jimmy Riggers, David Pierce. They will be with us in studio next week, some point between 6 and 8 on Monday night. And we will see you on the 11th at Petit Campus.
Sounds good.
Dave, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Catch you soon.
Cheers.
Let's go out on some Jimmy Riggers on the Kaufman Show. When we get back, we'll be joined by Travis in Asheville, North Carolina, and then Travis Reitzma, El Jefe, in Windsor, Ontario. Well, I wish I were just as blind. I wouldn't feel so down. But there's nothing but thieves and beggars
in this town. You know, we've over the years played in a regular, what you would ordinarily hear. We've also tried to go against the grain when it was possible.
Bang the drum slow, play it lonesome. Wind in the pines and leaves on elms. Can't tell the difference day and nighttime. Books on tape and thieves on film. Wars are fought for no good reason. Rock hard bottom to be on swell. Hazy dreams we half remember. The evil queen of a bleach blonde realm. Constant sunshine heals the skin. The taste of victory free on smell. Basic can feel deep in your bones. The promise that the theme song tells. Birds are singing in the pre-dawn with the news that he's not well. The pain of windows that we breathe on. This one here for Levon Helm. Levon Helm will live forever, a universe of stars to pick from. Sacred hymns of rock and roll, heartbeats pounding in his kick drum. Voice of voices, rose and bramble, in this life we mourn and gamble. Through the gates we all must amble, Levon Helm was born to ramble.
Sometimes. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. I absolutely love that song. You can find that online on SoundCloud, on Buck 65 SoundCloud page. I don't think he's going to be releasing it on an album, but my goodness, it is his tribute to Levon Helm, and That is my new song of the week. By far, that is the best song I've heard all week.
The skies aligned, newborn baby's eyes are blind. Mountains the sun will rise behind. Visions that surprise the mind. Rivers that she cries remind. Answers that she tries to find. The actors have their lines assigned. Disguise designed to hide behind. Unbreakable the ties that bind. The beat of the drum.
So we're back. We've got a couple of Travises waiting on the line right now. We're going to go to Travis in Asheville, North Carolina, followed by El Jefe, our baseball expert, Travis Reitzma from Runs Batted Out and Getting Blanked at the Score. But Travis from Asheville has been on hold for a while, and we appreciate it. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. But, wow, you interrupted that song for me? Man, that's heavy.
We are only allowed to play so much music.
That's true.
So we get away with what we can, and if I can give you all a little taste of that song and you will go and listen to it yourselves, then I think I've done my job.
It works for the artist, too, you know? A little bit of a tease.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Considering he's being so well compensated for us playing his song on air, we'll leave it at a
yeah,
tease.
Exactly.
That said, El Jefe and the Polemicist would be an excellent band name, I'm just saying.
El Jefe and the Polemicist. It would be the Polemicists, though, I think, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Or the Polemicist and the El Jefes. But no, I think you're right. I think it would be the other way around. You're the backing band on that one.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Reitzman is a hell of a writer, so I'm sure you
won't
mind.
He gets first billing. He gets top billing.
What's going on, man? How was your week?
Well, it was actually pretty good. My birthday was yesterday.
Happy, and, happy.
Exactly, and I figured since, you know, Canada Day and whatnot, it was meant to be. So, I actually got a tangible benefit from being an Expos fan on today, believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
I did.
Wow, what?
I was buying steaks, and the butcher recognized the hat, and he was sort of surprised that there are any of us still around. And I got a much nicer steak out of it than I probably would have otherwise.
Where's the butcher from? Is he from Park X or something?
He's from Milwaukee.
He appreciated
the fandom.
He had Selig's remorse.
Yeah, I hope so.
He has sympathy for a small market team with nowhere to go.
Travis, tell me, would you have any idea that it was Canada Day if not for Twitter?
Yes, I would.
Okay, because I felt like suddenly all these Americans realized yesterday that, oh my God, it's Canada Day, and it just showed me the Canadians must have this massive presence on Twitter.
I don't count because my family is mostly Canadian.
You count.
Well, apparently the Empire State Building was lit up red and white on Canada Day.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, apparently.
That's pretty
cool. They just didn't turn on the blue ones for the 4th of July. That's all it was.
I'll tell you, the best Canada Day that I ever had was in New York City.
Really?
Yeah. It was a free show in Central Park. Great Big C, the Jeff Healey Band and the Hip. 10,000-15,000 rocking Canadians. And it was just a huge party. You always, anywhere you go in New York, you'll run into an expat. There are a lot of Canadians living down there. And that was, my goodness, that was a long time ago. That was the summer of 2000.
Wow.
And, hey.
Ages.
Jeff Healey was around, right? I mean, Jeff Healy's been gone for a few years now.
He was.
And he was an incredible guitarist. It was great to see him.
I have a great Jeff Healey story that I'll tell you one day.
Travis, thanks so much for the call, man.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, you too, buddy. You can tell it now, Jay, if you
want. You sure?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
It's a little edgy. Okay, I'll tell it.
It's late at night. Go for it.
Back in the day, I used to be the...
Or it's early in the morning on thecoffinshow.podbean.com,
right.
But hey.
I used to be the manager at the no longer existent Bourbon Street West.
Right.
And Jeff Healey used to perform
really
there. He would come by once in a while.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had just come aboard at Bourbon, so I was a little nervous, especially to meet Jeff Healey. He was a pretty big star, you
Absolutely.
Know, at especially in the early 90s. But at this point, you know, his career kind of was winding down, and he was there, and... after the show, it was a great show, by the way, and after the show, he had met up with some fine ladies, and he was talking with them, and they left, and he left with them, but apparently they had taken separate cars, so he gave me a call. I get a call at the pub, say, Jay, say, yeah, it's Jeff, I thought it was my busboy, Jeff, and I said, what do you want, man, I'm busy, and he's like, no, man, it's Healey, man, I'm like, oh, what happened? He says, well, you know those girls that I left with on the way back to the hotel? I said, yeah. I said, well, they were following me in the car. And are they still there? Because maybe they went back. I said, no. Were they behind you? He said, yeah. I said, well, did you check? I said this.
I can't believe it. You didn't.
I said that to Jeff Healy.
What did he say?
So what, were you looking behind you?
Tell me that he... Oh, no.
There was just dead silence. It was just like nothing. I'm like...
Wait, you watched him play all night? You didn't know he was blind?
No, I knew he was blind. I was just stupid, man. Okay.
Well, thank you for making me laugh.
Yeah.
Go to my Twitter page, please.
He never came back to Bourbon Street.
I can't imagine that he would have. The Kaufman Show on Twitter. Jay is at J-Pub Radio. I just retweeted the Jimmy Riggers trivia question.
Okay.
For free tickets to their show on July 11th at Petit Campus. Who was Graham Parsons' right-hand man in the Flying Burrito Brothers?
Wow.
Send your answer to the Jimmy Riggers. Dave will retweet it. And we will share your brilliance with the world.
Answer some trivia. Stop bitching about salaries.
Speaking of, let's go to our highest paid correspondent, Mr. Señor El Jefe. El Jefe es muy grande. Mr. Travis Reitzma. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You guys have some underpaid correspondents. I'm just
Put it on Twitter. Quit your bitching on the radio.
we're in a bit of a mood tonight, just from this free agent shenanigans. I think
this is hockey stuff again.
Well, we could be speaking about any sport, really. But I'm of the school of thought that it doesn't bring anything to the conversation to know how much these guys are making. And Travis obviously disagrees vehemently. Wow. Wow. You know,
well, he's a baseball guy. No, you know, $2.5 million is what the Bat Boy makes.
That is why Travis is our highest paid correspondent. It's for comments like that. That was some riveting stuff. Does he know how radio works?
Well,
because if he just
does
rolls
he know
his,
how a phone works?
If he just rolls his eyes, he knows that nobody catches it, right? Jimmy's trying to get Travis back up on the line right now, and we'll see if that happens. Yeah, we're.
I don't have any Jeff Healy stories anymore, so
that one will live forever.
Okay,
that's a story for the ages, my friend. Travis, you back?
I am. I don't know
what the hell, man. What the hell?
I live in a basement. It's not my fault.
All right, fine. You're getting a raise too, right, Simo? Okay, everybody's getting bumped up 10% from what they're making now. Okay.
That's not going to be enough.
I feel so generous.
We're going to have to go into some collective bargaining here.
Yeah. Well, I've got Donald Fear on my side. What are you going to do? Well, you better have Sotomayor. What's going on, man? What's new? It's been too long.
Oh, not much, man. I'm just looking for a job and, you know, being unemployed in Windsor. You know how it goes.
Being unemployed in Windsor.
Which is probably like 50% of the population.
Well, you've just, Jay, yes, I agree, Jay, that it was an odd thing for our baseball correspondent to lead off with on the radio. I guess that he's using this as a campaign. Yes. Well, okay, let's
can go. You bartend?
I can, actually.
Okay.
How's your French?
Not so good. No.
Well, there will be no moves to Montreal to work for Jay in the future.
No.
Then.
No.
But since you went down this road, it obviously seems to be something you want to discuss. What kind of work are you looking for, Travis?
I don't even know. Right now, I'm just...
sports related?
Well, possibly, yeah. I mean, I've been trying to lobby the score to give me more more responsibilities, but that goes. Takes a little bit of time. So, I don't know. I'll take anything at this point. I'm, at a lot of debt.
You hear that, everybody? You hear that, everybody? Travis Reitzman says he will do anything.
Anything.
And this guy can write.
Anything.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. This is just getting all kinds of weird.
We have a lot of great artists who were, and people will think that I'm joking, but throughout this city at pubs and bars, are some very talented people just trying to make their way. And it's incredible. If you ask somebody what their other job is, what they come up with.
I know. They oftentimes some cool stuff, and it's a reflection of how hard it is to make it in the arts.
Right.
And whether it's as a journalist or as a musician.
Right, writers as well. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I can tell you firsthand, it's a very long, hard slog to get to below the middle.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how long it takes to get to, I don't even want to call it the top, but like the mid-middle.
Yeah.
We're all reaching for the medium stars on the Kaufman Show. But Travis, don't look too hard for a job because we've got Springsteen tickets on.
This is true.
in Toronto in August.
It would certainly help to get to Toronto if I had one, though.
Well, that's true, but you don't want to be able to. You don't want to have so much money that suddenly Springsteen and his common man appeal doesn't resonate with you anymore.
It's true. I'm already El Jefe, right? So I'm already out of his demographic.
But I feel like if we called you the Chief, it wouldn't have the same kind of appeal as El Jefe.
No.
Why don't we show everybody now? This is going to be like a live job interview for you, Travis. Let's pretend that all the big wigs are listening, and you're about to blow us away. Why don't you show everybody why you're called El Jefe on this show?
Well, I'm called El Jefe on this show because I defended Ozzie Guillen, I guess.
I think that's where it started.
That's where it started. Yeah, I'm not really. That'd be a question for you, I suppose.
Well, I was more trying to relay the fact that you are the expert.
Oh, okay.
You are
well, yeah,
the go-to
sense.
Guy, and
I rule with an iron fist.
You do, and frankly, I pictured our conversation, and I even related on Twitter this week, and let's see how right I was. Hey, Travis, you want to talk a little All-Star game tonight?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Oh, I guess I was wrong. I was expecting
sorry, I did that on purpose.
Okay, can we tell everybody what I was expecting? Hey, Travis, you want to talk some All-Star game tonight?
Meh.
Travis wrote a scathing little piece in the Score over the weekend about the All-Star game and the omissions and how it's really all much ado about nothing. Right, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, at the end of the day, probably close to, I would say, 8 to 10 players from both sides are going to, you know, they're going to come up with an injury, or they're going to, you know, maybe Jonathan Papelbon's got to go spend time on the ranch. I don't know. You know, there's going to be players that pulled out. It happens every year. And all these guys that people are, you know, go on to Twitter and complain about, oh my God, I can't believe this guy didn't make the All-Star team. Like, it's just so horrible for baseball if these guys aren't at the All-Star game. They almost all end up making it at some point. And nobody seems to care years down the line whether they were voted in originally or whether they came in afterwards. So, yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's just the All-Star game. It's meant to be fun. I know it, quote-unquote, counts as the home field advantage in the World Series thing, but, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's for fun, and it's what the fans want to see, and, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter all that much, so.
You don't care about the All-Star game, I gather.
I'll watch it if I'm not doing anything else that night. I'll probably throw it on. I'm a bigger fan of the Home Run Derby, which I love. I've always loved the Home Run Derby.
Really? I'm the opposite.
The
I am totally the opposite.
I love the All-Star game.
Yeah, same
I
here.
I love it. I love it. I think it's the best All-Star game in all of sports.
I agree. Well, that's like saying they're the tallest midgets. That doesn't do
yeah,
it for
exactly.
me.
Still, I'm not on board with a lot of these guys, especially these older guys. I don't care about the All-Star game. Who cares? I care. I love seeing the different uniforms. I love seeing all these stars together on the same field. Everything is interesting. I find so many little nuances, there's so many dynamics going on between the players, you know? I don't know. I just see something very fascinating about it that other people don't seem to see.
By the way, TSN 990 will be airing the Home Run Derby next Monday night and the All-Star Game next Tuesday. You can tune in to the Kauffman Show for the pregame of the Home Run Derby. Travis, why don't you join us and set that up since you love it so much?
Sorry, you were cutting out there. What was that?
That we're going to be on the pregame for
yes,
next
and
week.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks, man.
And then next 2 weeks after that, you're going 6 to 10. Is that
correct?
Right?
Yeah, we're going to need some content, so hopefully you'll help us out.
Well, I will be around for sure.
Do you
That's
have Barry
awesome.
Bonds' phone number?
I'll get in contact with Victor Conti, and then we'll see.
Well, good. He's back in the news this week with Marlon
Byrd.
Yeah,
he provides me with my steroids, so it'll be
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, he ain't coming on now. Thanks, man.
Travis Reitzman lobbying for a job on the Kauffman Show tonight. Really laying all his cards out on the table. What's going on with RBO right now, Travis?
I don't know. I've had a weird few weeks, so it's been there hasn't been any new content up for a couple weeks. This kind of happens with blogs sometimes. I write all weekend with the Score and don't tend to have as many ideas during the week, so I'm hoping to get something up there this week. I'm actually going to write a piece about Mike Fiers. He's a rookie pitcher with the Milwaukee Brewers who's having some success. I believe he's 26 years old and kind of came out of nowhere, and he's been doing really well. So I want to write something and put it up there about him. And Yeah, I'll get around to it eventually.
Good. We look forward to it. It's a very interesting site. I love your stuff on the score as well, but I like the idea that RBO is yours. And you get to take it in a direction that you want, and you don't have to be as politically correct as, say, you are on The Kaufman Show.
Yeah, that's true. I'm very politically correct on The Kaufman Show.
El Jefe, thank you so much for your time, my friend. And
I'll talk to you soon.
We'll speak this week, and we'll set up something for the Home Run Derby next week.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All the best, my friend.
Bye.
There he goes. Travis Reitsma. You can follow him on Twitter. Travis Reitsma, R-E-I-T-S-M-A. This is The Kaufman Show. We do a radio show once a week. It's kind of fun.
Earlier next week.
Next week, 6 p.m. Same time on the kaufmanshow.podbean.com.
Yeah. Following Melnick in the afternoon. Huh?
Man, what a rush.
Eh?
What a rush. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll really do our best to bring you guys the best damn show we can over the next 3 weeks. Like we always do, right, Jay?
Yeah. And you know what? We're going to stay on the edge. We're going to stay on the edge despite the time. It's prime time. I don't care.
Good.
We're HBO. We're not ABC.
We're actually TSN.
Oh, TSN.
And here's some Summer Side of Life. Anybody figure out the music theme tonight? This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Fenway Park, come on, it's not like they keep it hid. This is The Kaufman Show, and you're possessed. Gord Downie in the Country of Miracles. On guitar, Josh Finlayson, the producer of the Keyframes new album, Keyframes, will be playing with the Jimmy Riggers July 11th at Putti Campus. We're all excited. Jay's going to be there.
What? Yes, I'm going.
You're on vacation, man.
Yes, I am.
You will be there. We will be there.
I miss so many of these great concerts that you're always telling me about.
Oh, so let's make it a big party that night, then. If you're going to be around and I'm going to be around.
Dude, if I'm there, it's a big party. Good. It's so clear.
Come one, come all. Let's all listen to some good rock and roll country music. And I don't know how to... They're both. They are a country rock band. It's alt country. It reminds me a lot of that old REM sound, like...
Bit of bluegrass
before
in there.
Before Green, REM. Oh, there's all sorts of great, and their harmonies are incredible, and now they have a new harmonizer in the band.
Yeah.
And she beat you out. So
it's incredible.
You know
she must be good.
Exactly. And I really thought I had a chance to be their new triangle player. I'm really bummed.
Dreams are shattered.
I tried playing the wooden block for a while, but
yeah.
I got kicked out of that, too.
Did you?
Yeah, it sucked. Yeah. Let's bring up our next guest. Who, frankly, I actually sent a text today saying, dude, I want your life. Because he sent me a message saying, I'm at Disneyland for the day. And I thought, what a wonderful way to spend the day. Ride the teacups. I'll just walk around and cause trouble at Disneyland. Last time I did that, I was 12 years old. I was about to watch the Dream Team play in the Olympics. I remember I had a Larry Bird Team USA jersey. How's that for a Canada Day segue, huh?
Did I miss something? Did Disney start sponsoring our show?
Yes, yes. It's a small world after all, and that's why we're now joined by Ben Christensen. And
does he have any part of it?
I don't know. Ben might be a new Disney character, actually.
Okay, because Disney World sucks. Okay,
what?
Yeah, that's it. I'm saying
what Ferrar?
I don't care. Oh, it's the worst place I've ever been.
You are such a cynic, it's not even funny.
Oh.
You are the yang to my yin.
just a money emptying corporate pit of nonsense. Let's talk some baseball.
It's a small world after all. Ben Christensen, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Are you still in sunny Anaheim?
I am, actually. You guys timed it perfectly because the fireworks show just ended, and I didn't want you to think I was getting, like, shot at or anything like that, since I am still in L.A.
Wow. All right. We went there. Yeah. Okay. I think you're safe, man. I don't feel like you're going to get shot at. I mean, maybe I'm totally off base, but you give off this vibe that's not you're not aggressive. I feel like if some dude cut you off on the freeway in L.A., you'd wave and say, okay, obviously you got somewhere to be, man.
I might give him a finger. Yeah, I just have a finger in my face if they do it. But.
I was always taught not to give the finger in the States, that you can do it in Canada, but not in the States.
Yeah.
They have guns.
That's a good point, actually.
So your road trip across America continues. You were at the Sunday night baseball game at Chavez Ravine last night. How was that?
It was awesome. Hadn't been to a Dodger game literally since the year McGuire broke the home run record.
Oh, wow.
And oddly enough, the game I was at was when the Cardinals were playing, and it was during that three-game series when McGuire took the entire series off. So they put Gary Gaetti in his spot, and he hit three home runs that night. So
wow.
It was a loss of a game. Yeah, exactly.
Gary, I only think of Gary Gaetti as a twin.
Yeah, that's generally all anybody really thinks of him as a
let alone a Cardinal, hitting three home runs while McGuire's on the bench refilling his Andro prescription. That's pretty impressive stuff.
Whoa! Yeah, exactly.
He might have given some to Gaetti that night.
I was going to say, excellent managerial skills by La Russa right there. You know, he knew Gaetti was going to do something magical that night, and he certainly came through.
You know, for a guy who's out of baseball, Tony La Russa is still pissing people off.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this,
hardly.
But, well, I mean,
hardly.
Because he won the World Series last year, he still gets to coach the All-Star game.
Yup.
And needless to say, there's a couple of Reds that wish they were on the roster, and Dusty Baker went to bat for them today.
Yeah, thank God. And I'm just as displeased with the American League squad and my boy Josh Reddick not making the team.
Yeah, sorry, man. I saw that you were really campaigning for that, and he's having a great season. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'd like to think that when you're not named to the All-Star team, it drives you even more. It makes you want to...
Did you see what he did today?
No.
Hit a home run his first at bat.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. So nothing, it's okay to prove people wrong. And I don't know if you were, I guess you weren't listening because you were getting shot at by fireworks. But yeah. Travis Reitzman was just on saying that it's kind of not as special as it once was, at least for him. Now, I still hold the All-Star game really close to my heart. I love it. For me, it's can't miss baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anybody who saw that last All-Star game at Yankee Stadium a few years back would have to agree with me.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I'm still going to watch the All-Star game this year, as I do every year. It's a yearly tradition, much like the World Series. It doesn't matter who's playing. I'm going to sit down and watch it. The only problem that I have, and I think this is where Travis and I might agree, depending on what he said, is the selection process that they have for, you know, bringing in the reserves, but even the starters, for that matter. It's just like, you know, I understand the aspect of letting the fans vote, and of course they're going to vote their favorite players in. But to some degree, you know, as a fan, you really have to be more, you know, be more critical. You have to vote the guy who's actually doing well.
Yeah, but you know, Ben, you go to games, and you've been to in the last month, you've been to at least half a dozen games, which means you've seen each team say, vote this guy, get your votes in, and don't forget, you can vote up to 25 times a day. It's encouraged.
Let alone all the MLB fan cave videos, I still see at all the ballparks I've been to. That's awesome.
Do you still figure in them?
No, I never was.
Oh, well, but I know that, I mean, I saw some tweets yesterday that a bunch of people saw you in you're in the MLB commercial, right?
Yeah, and they played it during the, here's a weird story. I don't know if you saw my tweet earlier today. I got about 12 tweets in regard to the commercial that I'm in was aired during the selection show. And people were taking photos of their TVs and sending it to me. Well, I woke up this morning because I hadn't had a chance to, you know, respond, say, hey, thanks, whatever. All of them were gone.
Huh.
Completely wiped out of my timeline. And I thought that was odd.
I think it's time to change your password, Ben.
No, those are the only tweets that are gone. Everything else is still there from before and after.
Hmm.
Yeah, you should see the look that Jay and I are sharing right now in studio.
Well, it's because we've seen this before.
We have.
We've seen this before.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with my brother.
Did it?
Who did, he did a 94 compilation on the Montreal Expos, and Major League Baseball removed it. They didn't remove his song, remember, the tribute to the Montreal Expos, because it just had too many hits, and people had already replicated it. But as soon as he put out a second video, and it even says, see, YouTube baits you out. They sell you out. Yeah, removed by MLB.com. They'll tell you who did it, you know? So the powers that be, you know? So it's that's very interesting there, Ben.
Yeah, apparently I made that. That list that Pete Rose and only a few others share. Thank God for that.
Ben, that's well, what an honor. And in such a short amount of time. I mean, before the All-Star game, you've managed to put yourself into such treasured company.
Yep, exactly.
And to celebrate.
It's a real honor. I'll start preparing my speech tomorrow.
Good, good. And you can read it when we go to Cooperstown this summer.
Exactly. That's going to be awesome. If they even let me inside the building is the other question.
Oh, Ben, come on. You're making it sound like you bet on baseball here. I mean.
I know. Jeez. I'm going to put like some kind of crazy disguise on.
They're not Scientologists. Don't worry. You can move around a little bit.
And as far as crazy disguises go, all you really have to do is shave, man.
I know. That's the funny part.
And you can go back to being anonymous.
Yeah.
That's actually probably a good reason to keep the beard, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm starting to enjoy it more as the days go by.
Oh, good. It's getting
especially
more.
Especially today.
Excuse me?
I was going to say, especially today. I mean, so many people recognized me from the fan cave, and it's just, like, incredible.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kind of an
remember, though,
place.
If you can shave it off and get a haircut, you will be able to avoid the powers that be, MLB.CIA. I mean.
Well, Jay, I want to thank you for that. There goes my chances for the fan cave next year.
The Christensen identity.
Yep. Now, Ben is on, like I said, a cross-country, and it's actually going to be cross-continent baseball tour.
Oh, yeah.
And at some point in late July, Ben's going to forget that it's 2012. He's going to pretend that it's 2004, and he's going to come down to Montreal for a bit.
Absolutely.
Which will be pretty damn cool.
It will.
And we're working on...
To it.
As you should be, man. It's going to be awesome. You're going to have to come in studio with us. We're going to head down to Fenway Park. I'm trying to get my co-host to join us for that. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's the big plan.
I'll be there.
Good.
I'll go.
Yeah, you're in?
I'll go.
Amazing. All right. We're going to get 8 bleacher tickets for Fenway Park.
That's fine. That's it. I have to go. You got to go. I mean, you got to go once in your life.
If you haven't been, and this is going to be a good crew to go down with. And and late July, early August, Shaka Brody, Ben Christensen will be live in studio on The Kauffman Show. We can't wait.
Woo!
Ben, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight, man. Go back to having fun in Anaheim, and we'll catch up next week.
Definitely. Take care, guys.
All right, buddy. See you soon.
All righty.
Follow him on Twitter at Shaka Brody, SHAKABRODIE. He is Ben Christensen, and he's so much more than just the fan cave.
Apparently he's a secret agent or something, the way they're keeping tabs on him.
Remember, have you read about Mo Berg?
Mo Berg?
Yeah, the catcher spy.
Oh, man.
Oh, go read up on Mo Berg,
I
man.
Will.
Yeah,
oh,
awesome
I got homework.
Stuff.
I got
you
homework
do have homework. He was a mediocre catcher. One of those guys like we were talking about before that was just really smart.
Mo Berg.
Mo Berg.
One of your people? Or?
One of my people.
Oh, okay.
One of my people. an Ellis Island first-generation American. I want to say his parents were Russian or something like that.
Berg. German, maybe.
Yeah, but the Berg was probably something, something, something Berg.
Berg, yeah.
And then they shortened it to Berg. That's kind of how that works. You know, Pittsburgh. But Mo Berg was on a 1930s barnstorming tour of Japan with Babe Ruth, with Lou Gehrig, all the greats of the era. And they visited a hospital in Tokyo. And at this time, they already knew that there was going to be trouble down the road between the United States and Japan. And he snuck onto the roof of this hospital that they were visiting in Tokyo and took pictures, which were then used by the U.S. government to identify places.
Did he purposely do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
with the intention of...
The 200 hitter on the All-Star Barnstorming Tour of Japan, they probably could have brought Mickey Cochrane along.
Yeah.
They brought Mo Berg.
Too bad he didn't go to the airfield, because that didn't work out, did it?
This is the Kaufman Show.
Sorry, I'm on a tear today.
That's okay. Jay's...
all that tweeting about free agent nonsense.
Jay's feeling Enola Gay today.
Yeah.
This is the Kaufman Show.
Nice.
We'll be back. Thanks.
Rising over the tide, two dark fish rides a devil astride. Big men go fast on the water.
Big men go fast on the water.
Big men. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. That one's for Olympian Mark DeYoung, who we had on last week. Very good interview. Guy's going to win a medal.
Kayaker.
That's right. K200. We were working on trying to get another Olympic athlete on this week. We will strive to get one on next week. Olympics are around the corner, man. I'm psyched. And I'd rather talk Olympics than talk. I'd rather talk about athletes that make no money than talk about the money that the athletes, professional athletes
and the
make.
Ones that do make the money, we don't care that they make the money. So good.
Well, we complain about how much money they make.
Sit back and enjoy the show, people. Stop speculating on things you have no control over.
Hope you've sat back and enjoyed our show tonight.
Yeah.
This has been a fun one.
I did.
Good. Good. I enjoyed getting a new nickname, a new old nickname from Jeff Juden tonight.
Cough.
Hey, Cough.
How you doing, Cough?
I've never spoken to him in my life.
Really? It sounded like you guys went way back.
No, I sent him a Facebook message. It was all done. All the correspondence was by email through Facebook.
Nice.
So obviously we have warmed to Mr. Juden, and he's calling us Cough. We thank him for that. It was really cool to talk to somebody who was such a big part of the Expos, albeit briefly. But that game will live on in this town,
and so will that brawl,
and so will a lot of things that he did. Somebody pointed out to me earlier tonight that he also hit a big grand slam for the Expos.
Yes, he did. I remember that as well.
This is these were your glory years. This was when you were hanging
out. My glory years were a little yeah.
You were hanging out with the players. You had a totally different side of things.
Yeah, I did. I saw a lot of things which.
You talked about it when we met with Jonah.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll make the book.
Some of it might make the book, hopefully anonymously.
Who else? What a night. Max Harris off to San Francisco to go become, I don't know about GM, but something big. And frankly, you don't necessarily want to be the GM because the GM gets hired to get fired.
No, you want to be the GM.
You want to be the president.
You want to be the GM.
You want to be the president.
Well, hopefully you can move up to president status, but that rarely happens.
You want to be the executive president of whatever, or you want to be the head of business something. You want to be the guy hiring and firing the GMs.
Yeah.
We wish Max all the best, and we'll keep in touch with Max, definitely, as we go down the road.
He looks like he can function in society, unlike you and I.
He was trained better than we were. What can you say?
His conformity seems to be a lot better than ours is.
Our thanks to David Pierce from the Jimmy Riggers. Wow, where did that go? That was just, let's just start that over. Huge thanks to David Pierce from the Jimmy Riggers.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. July 11th, Putty Campus. We're going to have a big party that night. We're gonna tear this town a new Wednesday.
What?
That's what we're going to do. It's going to be awesome.
Never heard that before.
A little Wednesday rock and roll. Yeah, because you're always working on Wednesdays.
That's right.
Oh, it's good.
I gotta listen to karaoke on Wednesdays.
By then, you'll be all jazz-fested out. You'll be still waiting. The Just for Laughs will be right around the corner. It'll be a perfect night to head downtown, beautiful Prince Arthur Street. And we're going to have a good time that night. El Jefe, muchas gracias, señor. Shaka Brody. It's all good, brother. All good. Anybody notice the musical theme of the evening tonight? If we look through it, we had Hey Rosetta, Your Spring. We had The Hip Radio Show, Jimmy Rigger's Thieves and Beggars and Sleepwalking, Gord Downie, You're Possessed, Ode to Levon, Buck 65, Summer Side of Life by Gordon Lightfoot, covered by The Tragically Hip, By Divine Right, Come for a Ride, Oh, the Boss is Coming by the Arkells. We had The Jet Planes of Abraham tonight. We had Anakin Slade. We had Eat My Brain by The Odds. Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Anyone?
I got a guess.
Go for it.
These guys are all Ugandan. All, every single one of them.
Happy Uganda Day, everybody. Happy Uganda Day. Let's go off on one of my favorite Ugandan musicians, Mr. Joel Plaskett. This is The Kaufman Show. Proud Ugandans, all of us.
Listen up, kid. It's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house if your house burns down. There's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge anyway. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel, we're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand why we moved away. You hold a grudge anyway, because it's fun. Davy and me, face down in our soup, some French restaurant, I saw Riviere de Loup. Last night at a tour, we burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week at 6. No, at 8. At 8. At 6. At 8. I don't even know anymore. It's 6. Thank you, Jay. Good night, everybody.
What'd that sound like?